Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned today for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're going to talk about the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb right out of the book of Revelation today. You don't want to miss this broadcast. Whether you're a Christian or not, you need to stay tuned to this broadcast. We are living in the last of the last days. I used to preach we're living in the last days and have a lot of scripture to back that up, but now I honestly do believe that we are living in the last of the last days. As we see the prophecies and of the scripture and world events as they are shaping up, I believe that the coming of the Lord is very, very near. And I want you to know there is great victory in Jesus Christ for those who have put their trust in Him, accepted Him as their personal Savior. There is a bright and beautiful future. And we want to encourage you today to stay tuned to this broadcast as we talk about those things that involve the future and involve the present and especially that involve eternity. Where you go after you die and what's going to happen. The Bible said it's appointed unto man to die, but after that the judgment. And we would just love to know that somewhere where this broadcast is being heard, that someone is accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and securing heaven for eternity. Hallelujah. Well, we're glad to be with you right here again on WMAF. We are so happy to be broadcasting in North Florida, Madison. We hope in the Madison area that as this station is your hometown station, that we can be one of your hometown devotional broadcast as well. Through this station, we have access to the World Wide Web as this station streams 24/7. If anyone who knows anyone anywhere in America, anywhere in any other nation of the world that's hooked up to the World Wide Web, you could email them, drop them a postcard, pick up the phone and call them. Tell them about WMAF, a wonderful, a family-friendly radio station. And if you type in WMAF home and on Google or any real good search engine, America Online, it'll take you to the homepage of WMAF. Up in the right-hand corner, you can click and hear what is being heard right there in Madison, anywhere in the world. And it's just incredible, the possibilities that that this station brings for the gospel to go into all the world. So be a media missionary today and let someone else, somewhere else, know about this broadcast. If you feel that it would be a blessing to them, it will certainly bless the kingdom of God and bless us and other fine ministries on this station. Thank God for good old-fashioned quartet singing and good classic country music and just something that you can stay tuned, leave your dial here all day long. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to talk to you today about the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. And it's talking about praise to the God who always brings us through Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to four verses of Scripture to begin our study in Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 through 4. Listen carefully as we read the Word of God today. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass having harps of gold. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. The Christians singing songs of victory here in Revelation 15 have overcome Satan at his worst. He has come down to the earth. He is manifesting through the beast, the Antichrist. He has established a world system that is totally under the influence and control of Satan himself. He has established a zero-tolerance system to destroy all who oppose him, to destroy Christians in particular. You refuse the mark of the beast during this period of time, and you lose your head. End of story. First, I want to point out to you today that they did overcome. This is the most wonderful, positive, powerful message of this terrible time called the tribulation, is that there will be those who overcome. And they overcome the same way that we can overcome sin's dread sway and Satan's devices in our time. It's the same victory achieved at the very worst of times, under the very worst of conditions, certainly can translate to victory achieved in our lives today. Amen. If you're a Christian today, I want you to know that God has prepared victory for you for every circumstance of life through Jesus Christ. We are called overcomers in the Scripture. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to have troubles and trials and temptations and pressures. It means that His grace is sufficient and His strength is so mighty within us that there is nothing we can't overcome through Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. Amen. I like the way the Apostle Paul put it. He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And literally, it means I'm equal to anything. It says that we, as the children of God, have been given the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. And God promises to see us through anything that may happen in our life. If you're a Christian today, you have access to the great victory that is ours in Jesus. And if you're not a Christian today, I want you to know that you can have victory over sins that you think you could never break. You know, one of the things that kept me away from the Lord as long as it did, and I came to Christ when I was 21 and I'm now 62. Literally, I came to Christ when I was 12, but I fell away. But I made a quality commitment to Jesus at 21 years of age. And I had things in my life that I thought I couldn't change. And you know something? I was right. I couldn't change myself, but God could change me. And in John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." Hallelujah. Well, when I received Jesus, I found out that He not only forgives your sin, but He comes into your heart. You know, 1 John says that His seed remains in us that we sin not. Now, don't get me wrong. Christians have failures and faults. And if we say we have no sin, the Scripture even declares that we're not truthful. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Listen, folks, His seed remaining in us means we have a new bent toward righteousness. It is our heart desire not to sin against God. It is our heart's desire to do the right thing. It is our heart's desire. Sometimes we come up short and we falter. When we do, we confess our sin. But I want you to know there's victory in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Listen, they overcame. They overcame. That is the message of the book of Revelation, is that we overcome through Jesus Christ. And the first thing they overcame the beast, Satan himself manifesting through the Antichrist. This will be a time of Satan worship and the deification of man instead of God. Listen to Revelation 13, 1 through 4. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? They overcame the beast. They overcame his image, a false religious system headed by the false prophet, a world church. Revelation 13:11 through 15, And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. They overcame the beast, Satan himself manifesting through the Antichrist. They overcame his image, a false religious system headed by the false prophet and a world church, and they overcame his mark. A lot of people have heard about this. Listen carefully. A world monetary system that demands allegiance to the beast in order to buy or sell. And everyone will have to take a prefix or a mark for the numbers that would entitle us to buy and sell during that time if you are here during the tribulation. Listen, Revelation 13:15 through 17. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, small and great, rich, poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. They overcame his mark. They refused it. They wouldn't take it. Listen, you are marked. Did you know that if you're a Christian, you are marked? Amen. The Bible puts it this way, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. If you really follow Satan's pattern in the book of Revelation, he's trying to mimic God and everything that God has done through Christ to bring salvation. He is doing through the Antichrist to bring destruction. But he's trying to mimic the miracles. He's bringing fire out of heaven through the false prophet, bringing fire down out of heaven and working false wonders, trying to mimic the fire that came down on top of the mountain when God's presence was manifest, and bringing fire to consume sacrifices. Amazingly, he said in the Old Testament, Satan declares, I will be like the Most High. And you can see this pattern carried out vividly in the book of Revelation. He has such pride and arrogance that he wants to be like God in every respect, and he wants the worship that is God's and God's alone. That's the pride that made an angel a devil, and that's why pride is such a heinous sin in the sight of Almighty God. Many people won't come to Christ simply because of their pride. They don't want to bow down. Friend of mine, I am so glad that I bowed down, that I surrendered my heart, my will, my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Oh, friend, there's nothing like sins forgiven. There's nothing like His salvation. There's nothing like looking at our bleak, black-looking future and seeing it bright and wonderful, because God promised to the Christian that we will overcome. I'm looking for the Lord to return. I don't want to be here during this terrible period I'm reading about. But there will be people here that have confessed Christ. And I'm telling you something. Amen. God will give them victory in this terrible time. And if God can give them victory under the tyrannical rule of Satan himself upon the earth through the Antichrist, friend of mine, he can give you victory here today. He can give me victory. It doesn't matter what we are facing. There is victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. They overcame his mark, and they overcame his number, and the number of his name. The apex of humanism will be an ultimate idolatry. The direct worship of deification, literally, and the worship of man. Verse 18 of Revelation 13 said, "Here is wisdom. Let him that understanding the count of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Six is generally believed to be to represent man in the Bible, because man was created on the sixth day. Seven, on the other hand, is the number of completion. God rested on the seventh day. It is also a number for the divine. These tribulation saints had to face the literal martyrdom in order to overcome. They were willing to die for Christ. What a sharp contrast to those, so many today, who are not even willing to live for him. Listen to Revelation 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's generally considered to be the millennial reign of Christ upon the earth. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, they overcame Satan at his worst. And if they could overcome today, I draw great strength from that, because sometimes I get the poor old me's. I don't have to define that. I think you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed. And when I think about the grace that will be upon those that will face Satan at his worst and still find the strength to overcome, even to the laying down of their life, I take great courage. If they can live victoriously and die victoriously as martyrs in this time to come, oh, how we can live victoriously and die victoriously and in this day that we are living, no matter what we are facing. Listen, if you're a Christian today, there's victory in Jesus. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 and 59 says, "Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's the reason we're on the air today. We are doing the Lord's work. We're about our Father's business. We are calling men and women to salvation, and we're doing our very best through the Scripture and by the power of the Holy Spirit to encourage Christians to stand strong and stand their ground and stand in their standing in this very day. This is the last of the last days, and we can see so many things. Maybe in some future broadcast, we will have a series on Bible prophecy and current events. And friend of mine, it is absolutely incredibly accurate, the things that are happening in our newspapers and news broadcast, and what is predicted and prophesied of the conditions of the last days in the Word of God. We are very near the coming of Jesus Christ. I know you've heard it for years. I know preachers have preached it for years, and I know a lot of people have become kind of dull of hearing of that message, but it should be one of the most prominent messages preached today. And when we see and understand this, this, it will bring a purifying hope to the heart of every child of God. You know what Jesus literally said? When we would see certain events beginning to unfold that would mark the time that we were living in, a generational time, as the end time or the last of the last days, he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. All of these negative signs of the last of the last days, amen, for the Christian has a positive connotation, and that is that the coming of the Lord is very near. And instead of letting our heads look down in depression and defeat and fear and anxiety of the future, we should look up, amen, and get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about His coming, particularly with our world in the condition that it is in. I'm so excited that before we self-destruct, our Lord is going to come for His church. Amen. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I want to be on the right side when that day comes. I want to make it very clear right now that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of the cross that He hung on, and the cross that I take up daily, because it represents victory over every device of the enemy of my soul. Amen. But now listen. Now notice their songs of victory. They do not sing of their sacrifice nor their suffering. They're not singing the blues, mind you. They do not sing of their hardships nor their persecutions. They do not sing of their great devotion or ministry, but rather God's great deliverance. Praise the Lord. They sing the song of Moses, and they sing the song of the Lamb. Both songs tell a story that reveals the source of all victory over all circumstances. The song of Moses in the Old Covenant tells of God's great victory when He sent Moses, and through Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. And the song of the Lamb of God tells of God's great Savior, Jesus Christ, who He sent into the world to lead us out of Satan and sin's bondage. You know, there's a parallel between the deliverance from Egypt and Christ, our deliverer, in the New Testament. Literally, in God's deliverance of His children from Egypt, there is a type of Satan holding men and women enslaved by sin, and God's great delivering power to bring them out of dark kingdom of slavery into the kingdom of God. Amen. Out of Egypt into Canaan. Praise the Lord. You know, the New Testament said we've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And in that Old Testament type, there was a rock when there was no water that was smitten. It was to be smitten once and water flowed. And the Bible said in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, that they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. When there was no food, bread came down out of heaven, and Jesus said, you all ate the manna in the wilderness, or they ate the manna in the wilderness, but I am the true bread that comes down out of heaven. Amen. The Bible said that they had the gospel literally preached to them. They didn't understand. They didn't know it was the gospel, but in type and foreshadow, all those events from the deliverance from Egypt and the bringing them into Canaan, amen, the promised land, was a type of our deliverance out of Satan's rule into God's great kingdom of grace and love and heaven in the end of it all. Praise the Lord. They sang the old covenant song, the song of victory that rang out when they were delivered from Egypt, and they sang of God's deliverance under the new covenant, the song of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Deliverance from Egypt by God's power and love was the focus of the Old Testament saints. The Song of Moses is a song, the first in the recorded biblical history, 1,200 years before John's revelation, a song of joy and victory that celebrates and proclaims that God is faithful to deliver His people no matter what the circumstances if they trust Him. Listen, that dark kingdom can't hold you today if you want to be free. God is a God of great victory. And Jesus said in the New Testament, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the gospel to the poor, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord." If you look in a reference Bible, that will point you back to the Old Covenant, to the year of Jubilee, when slaves were set free, these bond slaves were set free, their debt was paid up, and they were blessed with gifts and allowed to walk away and live their life in freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said in the New Testament, "Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed." This is real freedom, friend. Amen. The devil promises freedom, but he brings us into sin slavery. A lot of people addicted to alcohol and drugs today have found out that it may have started out as something to enhance our fun and fulfillment, but it ended up dragging us down and harming us and harming our families. Oh, that's why Jesus came. He came to set us free. We used to sing that great victory song that came along a few years back in our church. "He lifted me," based on a psalm actually. "He lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise." Hallelujah. No one can praise God like a soul set free. And God stands ready to set you free today from addiction. He stands ready to set you free from sin's shackles that hold you and bind you. You're absolutely correct if you say, "I can't change myself." God doesn't expect you to change yourself. He expects you to receive what He offers you in His Son, Jesus Christ. To confess your sin, repent of it, have the will and desire to be free from it. God, amen, through His Son Jesus Christ, will shake that prison. He will break down those doors of brass and iron and set you free. There are too many people testifying to that fact today for anyone to even dare to doubt it. It's true, number one, because the Word of God declares it, but it's verified in all the people's lives who have been radically changed when they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Here's what I'm saying today. Amen. If they could get victory when Satan himself has come down to the earth, if they could get victory over the beast and over his mark and over his number and over his name, we can get victory over whatever we're facing today. If they can have victory in the worst of times, we can have victory in Jesus Christ today. Whatever is holding you back, if you're a Christian, I want you to plead the blood of Jesus and call upon the name of Jesus and stand your ground, and all of heaven's resources will be yours in Christ to overcome. And His grace will be sufficient, and His strength is so mighty. And if you don't know Jesus today as your personal Savior, I'm not trying to scare you, but I am trying to alert you, and you should be concerned. Literally, we're in the last of the last days. You don't want to be here during that awful time to come. God doesn't want you to have to come to Him that way. He wants you to come right now. He wants to mark you with His mark. That word "sealed" unto the day of redemption, it's literally to mark, to brand, to mark you as one of God's own children, so that when He comes and receives His own to Himself, you have His brand, you have His mark. You know what that mark is, what that brand is? It's nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you, shed for me, at the cross. And today, that blood can be applied to your life if you will genuinely repent of your sin and will to be set free from that prison. Christ will save you. He will come in His might and power and set you free and deliver you. Ah, friend, what a great salvation is ours. What a great victory is ours. What a bright future is ours in Jesus Christ. We love you today. We pray you will pray right where you are right now. And would you come back next week, right here on WMAF, this same time, and let's talk about Jesus.